America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So Nick Song, he's probably listening to it, driving in today as everyone's ripping him. 215-592-9494. All right, your reaction to yesterday, more happy with the win. And I do think the players, for the most part, played really well. I mean, Saquon Barkley
Indeed. Has really been amazing.
He had the fumble yesterday, which you can't do, but for the most...
We won. If it had been bad, we lost.
But Hugh, I'd say most of these games you watch him, you're just like, oh my goodness, this guy's in a different planet.
Let me tell you what Saquon Barkley has done in, what's that, eight games?
Eight games, yeah.
As an Eagle?
Mm-hmm.
He has become an all-time Eagle in eight games, just that quick. He is a much better running back here. I think in his whole time with the Giants, he had like three or four 100-yard games, not probably that many. Over 100-yard games.
Well, he's had the remarkable part is how many in a row he's having. He's averaging 5.9 yards a carry this season.
He is so much better here than he ever was with the Giants.
Well, he's rejuvenated. He's been great. We'll get to a lot of Saquon today. And again, I'm impressed with the players. The players, and especially on defense, these guys are coming along now. Nakobe and Bond and Coop. I mean, they're making play after play. The issue is the head coach let that game become close again. Let's hear from Sirianni after the game. Nick Sirianni on balancing that aggression. And we know he wants to be aggressive, but there's that fine line between aggressiveness and stupidity, and I think we found it yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. We've done pretty good at those in the past, and so you always think about everything. You think about who you have. You think about your past experiences with it. You always look at the analytics of it. And we've been pretty good on those. Today they did a good job, and so I'll look at everything. But everything in the moment, I'm always doing what I think is best for the football team, and. Today it didn't work, but that's the way it goes. That's the hat I have to wear, right? When we get a fourth down and we convert a fourth down, nothing's really said. When we don't, I understand that there's going to be questions. But again, I have to be able to have the balls to do that, really, to at the end of the day and say, am I doing everything I can do to help us win the game? And then those moments I thought I was, but I'll go back and relook at them. I'm always going to be hypercritical of myself.
So here's what strikes me when I hear him talk like that. Anyone, you mentioned, Hugh, the book of analytics they have or the stack of papers he has. He has the numbers and the data in front of him. Anyone can read that and say, the data says I should go for it, right? Like when they get the penalties and they're on the 1 yard line versus the two, anyone could do that. Like, literally anyone listening right now could be told, this is probably a time you should go and just say, go for it. You got to have a feel.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think his feel is off. Like, you're playing the Lions. You're playing the Bills. You got to score every point possible to win that game because you know they're really good on offense. You know they have big-time quarterbacks. You're playing the Jaguars yesterday. Their quarterback isn't any good. Their team is half ready to quit. Like, yesterday's a day, Hugh, just take a field goal, right? Just take the points, get up three or four scores because they can't score three or four times. It feels like he overcomplicates, like, well, I'm supposed to go for it. No, you don't have to. You don't have to go for it. You could just take this simple route and keep them away from the game. It almost felt like he breathed life into the Jaguars yesterday.
Yeah. I for the life of me, I didn't understand the purpose of the two-point conversion in that moment when you could just kick the field goal. You got a hell of a field goal kicker on the squad. Just let him kick it. I didn't understand that. But again, like I said, the game is full of analytics now, and I guess analytics told them in that moment that you should go for two to put the score at a 2-point score, whatever the possession.
I'm sure it did, but yeah. But that's his job, is to make those calls. Like, you could be guided a certain way, but he could say, you know what, here today against this team, we're gonna take the simple way. Let's hear Jalen Hurts after the game talking about the things they need to clean up situationally.
I think situationally we could have been better. Yeah, I think we could have executed better in some situations, handled some situations a little better. But, you know, I just can't get off of N'Kobe and the play he made at the end of the game. It's a hell of a play, a big-time moment, you know, and my perspective, it's, you know, you're kind of gearing and you're trying to be prepared. You're playing the next play, and you want to be ready for the guys out there. And it was a tough one. We had to dig deep.
I thought Jalen Hurts showed some growth there. He kind of stopped himself, Hugh, because he's talking about being better situationally. I mean, that he was leading down the path of they got to make better decisions as a team. And he kind of stopped himself, and then he spun it to the positive with N'Kobe. I felt, listening to Jalen yesterday, he was thinking, hey, we need to be a little smarter in how we approach the game.
And listen, let me just share something with everybody. That's how everybody, especially the guys that play here in this city, and we know the standard that's set for this city. That's how all of us are hardwired. When I tell you, everybody on the sideline that I used to play with, when we saw certain things starting to unfold, we were asking, like, what's going on here? What's this? And you try to give the current coaching staff and the players grace because, again, it's a different game. It's changed a little bit from the time that we played. But at the same time, certain rules still apply. And in certain moments, when you're leaving points on the board, even though Jacksonville is not a good football team, you could have executed a lot better. And the players know that. The players know that, and they felt that, and they're echoing that, because the ultimate goal is to get to Louisiana. At the end of the day, the ultimate goal is to get to Louisiana. And I think these fans are smart and savvy enough to know that that effort yesterday, even though it got us a win, probably not going to be good enough to get us a win in the Super Bowl.
Well, I think the effort would have been. I think the coaching is not good enough. The more we go on, the more impressed I am with the roster, the team. Like, they're looking good. They've figured some things out on offense and defense to where I'm excited about this season. It's the coach that I'm just afraid is going to get in the way. And he means the best. He's just, he tries too hard sometimes.
Try hard.
Just relax.
It's the one coach, not the coaching. Because
no, yes.
Vic Fangio, I think, has done outstanding job with this defense so far. And the offense figuring out under Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts looks comfortable now, throwing the ball all over the field. Chuck in Mount Airy is up as we discuss a weird but good victory yesterday. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, Hugh?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Joe, listen, where was this aggressiveness 2 years ago when we was in the Super Bowl? We probably had a championship by now. He was this aggressive in that game, you know what I mean? Listen, the fact of the matter is this, right? The offense, the talent on offense supersedes, you know, anything that the coach is doing right now. You know, and it's always been that way. This is nothing new. This is why, you know, last week I was telling you, Joe, you're going on your apology tour too early when it comes to this guy. This guy is going to – he's going to cost us, man, if he don't get out the way of what he's doing. And I'm not saying don't be a coach of the football team, but you're costing us more than you're helping us. You know, the defense have gotten it together. The offense has gotten it together. The talent is starting to show and blossom on this team, and you're still the X factor that's keeping us from being where we need to be to compete against Detroit later on in the year. You know what I mean? And the thing about it is this, right? When I look at this team and I look at this roster and the way it's constructed, I think we have a good enough team to make it to the Super Bowl, but I just don't trust this head coach, man. And it's always been this way. You know, this guy is going to cost us in a big way. And the only way, and my hat's off to Vic Fangio too with the defense. I knew he would get it together, but the only way this guy won't cost us is if Howie sits him down. Somebody sits him down and say, "Listen, man, you're acting like a maniac out there. What you're doing? You know, some of the things that just don't make any sense. There's no rhyme or reason to do the things that you're doing.
No, there, he's got to, and Chuck, he's got to read the room. Like, yeah, his analytics sheet might say this is the spot we go for it, but when AJ goes out of the game, why are you going for fourth downs when you kick a field goal and go up two scores? Like, you don't have AJ out there. And the tush push, Chuck, they got to realize at some point it's not quite as effective as it was last year. So it's not as automatic. I think last year was like 95%. This year it's like 78%. It works a lot, but not every time.
Joe, I totally agree with you, Joe, but my opinion is they do it too much. This offense is powerful. It's with AJ out there, full strength. They high-powered, man. I think they shortchanged themselves with that push-push. Doing it on third downs, you know, things that they can have. This a crucial fourth down or goal line situation, I get it. But to continue to do it on third downs, you're shortchanging yourself because now you're taking a big play away from yourself. You know what I mean? Because now you're just going for the first down. I mean, you know, when you could strike and possibly get a big play and score a touchdown there. What I'm trying to say is this, right? This team is good enough to get to the Super Bowl. I'm convinced of that. But with this head coach, man, I don't know what he's trying to prove. Somebody need to have a talk with him and let him know, listen, you're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, not the Chiefs, not the Detroit Lions, not Buffalo, none of those other teams that can score at will, and it's not a playoff game. Take the points, man.
Yeah, and that's Chuck, you said it right. That's it. There's a time and a place. And Chuck, good phone call. Hugh, there's a time and a place where you might be in a shootout, and you got to get every point you could possibly get because you know the other team's going to get to 28 or 30. Yesterday, at halftime of that game, the Jaguars had 32 yards. It was clear to anyone with eyes, the Jaguars were not good enough to score four different possessions against the Eagles. Mm-hmm. They just weren't. So if you just keep taking what's in front of you, like the point or the three or whatever.
Just get out of there with a win.
Then they can't catch up. Like, yeah. Just they don't have enough time. They don't have enough players. They don't have the quarterback. It just felt like when the Eagles kind of left all those points out there and it was only 22, and then they score the touchdown, right? It's 22-8. And then they have the fumble recovery. You're like, holy moly, this is a game.
The worm turned very, very quickly. It turned very, very quickly. And that's the thing that causes concern, because then you're even still making decisions where the kick, Jake Elliott kick, when it was like 56 yards or something like that.
So that's at the end when they're up five, and he tries to go up eight. But that was a tough kick because the kicker hadn't done anything the whole game.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. Kickers need time to get in a rhythm. They're out there kicking before the game and everything like that. And if you're not using them, and then to ask him in that moment to do that, that's a little tough.
It is challenging. 215-592-9494. Let's go grab Black Gritty, and then we'll let you hear the montage of the best moments yesterday. And there were a lot of good ones by the players. Black Gritty's up. Hey, Black Gritty.
Guys, Saquon, a booty hop somebody moonwalking out here. Smitty caught this dive in the back. Jalen Hurts is killing it. N'Kobe got interceptions. All these turnovers. I mean, Dotson caught a ball. Like, it almost made it worth it, Howie. You almost made it worth it for that pick, for that one catch. And all we care about is the guy with emotional intelligence. It looks like emotional incompetence. Like, that first tush push, okay, I get it. But the second one, your quarterback goes in the end zone, lands on his head, your lineman gets cut and has to go in the blue tent, and your dumb self still thinks that you're going to go for the tush push when you're already down lineman. That's the problem with the tush push. The tush push is fine. But when you're down two and three linemen, maybe run something else or take the points and don't take points off the board. It's absolutely maddening to think of this dude as an intelligent human being. And I don't like calling people stupid. I sound stupid yelling at the radio all the time. I know. But my goodness, bro, take the points. You send a cold kicker out there because you think that you're just big and bad. It was a trap game. You know what a trap game is for? That booby trap head coach. He's the one that fell into the trap. Everybody else is out there doing their job. 22-0. When Doug had to go for two, you know why? Because he's down 22-0. And they went out there, got a QB sneak, didn't have to push nobody. They had two passing plays on CJ DJ who can't stop nobody. They went after Rodgers all day, so I guess I need mid-play slayback. Quinyon the Don can shut down anybody. He's the new Revis Island. I got all this stuff to be happy for, but I have one of the dumbest coaches in the world. And it didn't hurt us because we went up against a mediocre team. You go up against the average team and you...
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. SunShineHotels.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lose that game, and it sucks to have to feel that way. N'Kobe Dean saved this man's life. Balls? How about brains? How about you get some brains, Nick? We won. George W., so happy. Saquon, booty hopping. It was amazing. I'll talk to you guys. Have a great day.
There he goes, Black Gritty. All right, speaking of Saquon and N'Kobe, let's hear the best moments of yesterday's 28-23 victory, the Merrill montage after the Eagles get to 6-2.
Here is the punt by Braden Mann. It is a wobbler coming up, taking it as Trammell. He's hit. He fumbles, and I think the Eagles have it. Back goes Hurts. He is floating it for Barkley, who catches it for a touchdown.
This is a difficult catch, but he makes it for a 20-yard touchdown.
Attention. The Eagles have scored in the first quarter for the first time this season. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life. He hurdles a guy backwards.
What
am I watching?
Back goes Lawrence. He pumps, he fires. It is deflected, and it is intercepted by the Eagles on the deflection. Zach Bond. They hand the ball off to Barkley. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Touchdown! Barkley! And they get it. They push, and they shove, and they move the pile, and they do not get the extra points. But they're still up 16-0. Hurts this time. Fakes it. Keeps it. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Touchdown! Leaping Jalen Hurts. Well, they tried the tush push at the end of the first half. And they push and they shove and
they're waving it off again.
Hurts comes back. He gives it off to Barkley. Barkley crawls along the ground, fumbles the football. The Jaguars pick it up. They're running down the field and in for the touchdown goes Trayvon Walker. This time it is a sneak and it is a touchdown. It is a touchdown as Trevor Lawrence goes in on a one-yard quarterback sneak.
Now, there's a reason for concern.
The push-tush, which has failed two straight times for extra points. Hurts. He is rolling. He is looking. He stops. He's coming back the other way. He is firing it, and it is incomplete. And the Eagles are in trouble.
So many misfires in this football game.
Here goes Hurts, going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if
what
he stayed. He's
Smitty.
In! He's in!
Oh, my
one-hand! I don't know how he did it.
Smitty is unbelievable.
Back goes Lawrence. He's looking. He's looking. He's going to run. He is in for the touchdown. It is 28-22. They will kick the extra point to make this a five-point game. 4:04 remaining to be played in this game. Lawrence back. Lawrence looks. Firing for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted N'Kobe Dean! The Eagles are going to escape! N'Kobe Dean saved the game! And the Eagles have beaten the Jacksonville Jaguars 28-23.
And N'Kobe Dean did save the game. What were you guys thinking when the Jaguars got the ball down to about the 10-yard line? Because I was
like, Lord have mercy, we're about to lose this game.
I was thinking, like, well, how could they have lost this game?
I was wondering about how much time we'd have left and the sort of game-winning drive we'd have to put together without A.J. Brown.
That's fair, because they would have been about a minute and a half to go. It wasn't over
but
if they
lost. But we didn't
have
A.J.
They did not.
That felt like a spot for, and I shouldn't even say this, but the way he's been playing lately.
Mm-mm.
Felt like a back-breaking Hurts interception on a game-winning drive opportunity.
That would have been fitting for the moment because it didn't feel like anything was going to go your way, to be honest.
So they had moved past the last 3 weeks of reminding me of last year. The first month felt a little bit like last year, and then I kind of forgot about that. And then they played well, right, for the month there or the 3 weeks. Yesterday felt like a 2023 Eagles victory when they had those like right to the end weird games where they're winning but then they get through it. Well, it was look, the silver lining, Hugh, and the part that we need to feel good about is how well some of the players played. Jalen, again, turnover free. Saquon, amazing. And that we heard it there, the call by Merrill, we'll have him on with us at 11. That Devontae Smith catch back in the end zone, Hugh, was incredible. One-handed and to get his feet in.
Yeah, that was dope. That was dope, man. It was a lot of great plays that were made. There were moments in that game where guys stepped up and they saved coaches' bacon. Because I can guarantee you, even though we got a win, and it's great to get a win, the conversation would have been totally different. Oh. We'd have lost the game the way
we Well, I'm looking right now at our call board, and most people are annoyed at Sirianni. They won the game. If they had lost, this would have been, you know, this would have been DEFCON 1 here. John is up next. What's up, John?
Hey, how are you?
John,
I'm John from Maryland. It's my first. Yeah, I'm John from Maryland. It's my first time calling.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you, John. What's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
Thank you. I know when I called and I said something to Kyle, I want to retract that because I don't want to call anybody any names. You, I got your jersey. I love you. You are one hell of a player. I just want to say this about Sirianni. This analytics thing that he's using right now, can anybody answer this question? Isn't Jeffrey Lurie's son running the analytics department for the Eagles? And yeah. If he is he listening to this nitwit? Because I remember when Doug walked away from that kid when Doug was still coaching, and the kid was trying to tell him to do something, and Doug basically said, get out of my face. So why is this genius of a coach that we have listening to this kid? Because this analytics that we're playing right now really is horrible. It really is. It's hurting the team. I'm sitting there watching a game with my wife, and I almost lost my marriage list. That's how bad it got for me. I mean, I was so ticked off that I couldn't even watch it anymore. I did watch it. But, I mean, this guy, we're winning the freaking game. We're winning the game. Why do we have to use analytics when we got a 22-0 freaking lead? Please tell me that.
Well, John, he doesn't have to. I mean, the answer to your question, he doesn't have to. And you're right. His Lurie's son is part of it, as is Howie and the whole front office. And John, I don't think in general it's a bad idea to be aggressive or try to add extra points, especially if you're playing a good team that you know they can score a lot of points. But that's not what yesterday was. The Jaguars had no chance to score four times.
Just take the
easy way out yesterday. It's easy.
We had them on the ropes. We should have buried them. And, I mean, the whole idea of, like, using analytics, and there has to be a time when, you know what, guys, when you got an easy win like this, don't use the stupid stuff because it's not working. And the other guy that just called and said when they went for the tush push after he almost got his Fred Johnson killed, and I love Freddie. I love that guy. I think he's a good kid. The whole idea is I'm going to be – you know, I almost felt like I'm not even going to see my next birthday getting so ticked off about these clowns. I mean, not the clown, the Eagles team.
Yeah.
I love the young guys.
Well, John, you're not the only one that felt that way yesterday. Yeah. I think the young players are playing well. Jalen's playing. Like, the team gave us so much to hope for yesterday. John, great phone call. Call again. But the coach, he just feels like he's unnecessarily injecting himself into the game. Like, just lay low. Like, do the simple thing. And I understand some of those, right? You get the penalty to move the ball from the 2 to 1. Mm-hmm. I guess I get how the numbers say go for 2 on that. The two plays, and we'll break them all down in a little bit. The two decisions to go for the fourth down instead of the field goals, those are the ones that are like, what are we doing? There's just no reason for it. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on the game yesterday? Happy with the win and the way some of the players, Saquon, Devontae, Jalen, the linebackers played, or are you annoyed at the head coach? I mean, I just get a sense early in the show. I know where this is going. 215-592-9494. On the other side, we'll hit on that. Sirianni plus his reaction and ours to one of the coolest plays you'll ever see in an NFL game made by Saquon Barkley. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry
How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.